15 September 1907. Blue and bright white, a sparkling day. I'm out of gray yarn. Sometimes she dreamed of bodies washing ashore, or maybe those weren't dreams. The boat had sunk 3 years ago, before she ever came to the island. 1,000 women and children drowned or burned when the steamer Slocum went down just off North Brother Island. 1,000 souls. She glanced over to see if Tyrone could see them too, smell them, but he slept on, twitching, farting. She stared at the windows of the riverscape. Not quite the coast of Ireland, what with the oil tanks across the water in the Bronx, but the air was damp enough to let the skin breathe. And here she sat, leading a life of indolence when her mother never rested an hour straight. It was a dream, a life of ease, if only she had chosen it. And if only Carrie Bowen weren't out there among the bodies, little Carrie skipping along the shore like it was the coast of Maine, counting cadavers the same way she used to count anything, lobster boats, seagulls, ladies' slippers. They said married sickened people. Clearly a lie, for only such a very few of the people she'd cooked for had taken ill. People did take sick just on their own, after all. The miasmas got them. It wasn't the cook's fault. It was the doctor's. They were the ones who couldn't help when Carrie was stricken, and married and made the devil. Now here she was, forbidden to cook or break bread with anyone. There were 12 windows, 9 panes each, 108 little windowlets. She'd counted them, and she'd cleaned them with sheets of the New York Times. Flashing in the sun, the windows wrapped around 3 sides of her one-room cottage. You couldn't ask for a brighter, airier place, but somehow the light just made the loneliness louder. She looked at the sweater in her basket, still short an arm and no yarn left. More was on the way, but for now, she got out her tatting instead and peered through loops of white thread at her own hand. 2 November 1907. Greenish and greasy, like dishwater, overcast. A strange woman knocking at my door. She peered through loops of white thread, the curtain she'd tatted, at a woman's face. Brought you a parcel. May I come in? Set it on the step. I'd like to speak with you, too. Would you walk with me to the ferry landing? It isn't cold. Ah, they haven't given up on the samples, after all. Shy or just tactful? It made her sick what the doctors wanted from her, a scoop of her own waste every day. I don't know anything about samples, Miss Mallon. I'm nothing to do with samples. What are you to do with? Mary wrapped her stole more firmly around her shoulders. I work at the hospital. I'm a nurse, but only here to be sociable. You're asking something of me. We could use your help with the children. Lessons, reading to? You don't worry, I'll make them sick. They're sick already, and you're not going to cook their meals. What they need is kindness. Who says I'm kind? What you are is here, when their mothers can't be. I've never been sick a day in my life, you know. Strong as an ox. It's madness that I'm here. You're clearly in good health, and of course you don't want to be here, but consider this. It's a gift to the children that you are. That's the wonder of it. Some wonder, locked up on Quarantine Island. You must be so bored with just your needlework, magazines. By the way, I'm Addie, Adelaide Offspring. Are you then? Good for you. Don't guess I need an introduction. No, Miss Mallon, you're known to me. That's why I came. 2 January 1908. Cold, pale sky like shreds of white lace on the ceiling of the heavens. I came because I wanted to say how pleased I am. How well it seems to be going. Your work with the children? Ah, well, most of them are brats. That's children for you. I like the one called Gwenny. She has pluck. I'd like to see her make it home. Addie smiled. She might get. Best thing for her would be to go home to her mother. The rules are hard. Speaking of which, how stands your appeal? I wrote to the judge again. Any reply? No. It smells good in here. Baking? Raisin tart, said Mary, thinking of Carrie Bowen, whose favorite it had been. Care for a slice? Addie swallowed. Yes, thank you. I would. When she finished it, she smiled. Would you cut me another, Mary? It's delicious. 25 January, 1908. Sky is oatmeal today, dull and lumpy, snow coming. Won't you cut me another, Mary? Begged Gwenny, holding up the chain of paper dolls, little boys in short pants joined at the toes and hands. But girls this time, girls in dresses with pigtails. Oh, you. Girls are more difficult, you know. But she cut out girls for Carrie Bowen. She could do them just as deftly as boys. Her reluctance came from the last change she made for Carrie, the one that the girl had colored in so carefully when she was ill. Collars on their dresses and rosy cheeks and all, perfect in a way that paper dolls weren't meant to be. Mary crumpled them and watched them flare up in the grate when she was cleaning the sick room afterward. Please, Miss Mary, won't you try? So Mary folded a sheet of newsprint like an accordion and took up her sewing scissors. Snip, snip. She handed one end to Gwenny, took the other herself, and shook the cutouts gently till they bridged the gap between them like a merry gang of schoolgirls. When can I go out and play, Mary? Soon enough. It's too cold now. You need to rest. Rest and drink your broth, little one. Gwenny was feverish and shallow of breath. Her hands translucent. She couldn't make it to the toilet without help, much less go outdoors. She was as trapped and alone as Mary. No visitors. No visitors at all to North Brother Island. Only inmates, patients, doctors, nurses, workers. Thank God for Addie, Mary thought, remembering how annoyed she'd been the first day she came. Addie had given her the chance to work with the children. And Addie sat with her as the sun dropped behind the tanks of the oil yard and the shadows rose, keeping at bay the ghosts of the Slocum. Now they came only on the weekends when Addie wasn't there to discuss the news or play backgammon. Mary didn't know why she enjoyed the games with Addie so much. Addie always let her win, like she was some child. Addie would start out as if she had a strategy, and Mary'd think she had a chance of losing. But every time Addie would pass up some obvious move, she couldn't bring herself to send Mary, so trapped there on North Brother, back to the start. So why was it so suspenseful when it wasn't a surprise? 2 March, 1908. White ice rimming dark channels. Gwenny passed last night. It wasn't a surprise. She'd been vanishing by degrees all winter, coughing her useless cough. Her mother never got to say goodbye, but Mary did. Gwenny looked an angel, dressed to be buried with the best of Mary's tattered collars round her neck. Addie and Mary walked all that morning round and round their rotten little island with its overgrown shores and icy crusts of snow, not to mention the raspberry prickers, which seemed to have been sharpened by the ice. Back at the cottage, Mary opened Addie's basket. More white thread and more gray wool for more sweaters, for more orphans, and the Sunday paper. Mary looked up. All I really have here, Addie, is you. And I have you. Addie reached for her hand. 4 September, 1909. Rain smacks window panes, night seems to have crept up into the afternoon, and yet it is strangely warm. For you, Mary, said Addie, as she folded her sopping umbrella, extending a canvas bag. The bag was heavy, and Mary smiled. Her lady's home journal and whiskey, the one absence in her weekly box of provisions. He'll pass a dreary afternoon, won't it now? Asked Daddy. I'll take a dram to scare off the damp. What are you making today?
Socks.
I had nothing but remnants, and socks are the thing to get rid of them. Now I can get back to sweaters. What about a blue for once, or a red? Gray is what the nuns require. It's suitable for either sex, and the children have nothing to squabble over. But if you brought me some red, I'd knit you a shawl. Annie blushed. I could hardly stand it if a shawl for me took you away from your calling. I bore a gray. Annie smiled. Too red, then. Too red. They laughed and topped up their glasses. Then Mary put the needles down and shook out the paper. After a few minutes, she looked up. Another ferry wrecked.
What? Where?
Oyster Bay. But they saved all souls, every one. Why, it's a miracle, then. How is it that some gain by miracles and others are neglected? Ask your nuns. They got no answers, just nonsense to do with Job. I'd sooner ask Tyrone. They looked at the dog, licking his groin. Mary reached down to scuffle his jowls and groaned. 19 February, 1910. Pink, orange, blue, flaming gold. Is it possible I'll miss this view? The ferry heaved against the pilings of the small pier. Addie stood beside her, watching. Mary thought about the letter that had come, granting the thing she dreamed of, freedom. Now she was queasy. Her trunk was packed and buckled. The hospital porter wheeled it ahead of her to the gangway. Tyrone was on a lead by her side. I never thought it'd be you leaving me, Mary. Mary turned, and Addie kissed her for the first time in all those 3 years. And there it was, a yearning in her body, right where it didn't belong. As the ferry backed away from the pier, Addie wrapped the red shawl around herself and waved. Tyrone barked, and Mary barked too. A word, a farewell. Addie! 15 January, 1915. Ferry ride back to North Brother took 5 minutes. Sun beat the cold away, and I am back with the bodies and her. Addie. As she made her way from the ferry with her carpet bag in hand, she remembered walking arm in arm with Addie on the pebbled path, their skirts swishing as they strode. She dreamed so many nights of Addie. What if those weren't dreams? She peered from outside the door through the loops of white thread of the curtain she'd tatted years before. Inside, everything exactly as she'd left it, just 5 years dustier. I came back, she said to Addie that afternoon. Yeah. Oh, Mary, said Addie, and wrapped her in her arms. But later it was, how could you do it? You cut their lives short just for work? I didn't do anything. It was no surprise, that outbreak, not with the conditions there. It wasn't ever my fault. But Mary, a lying in hospital, you swore you wouldn't work as a cook. But I did it for you, she whispered. Addie groaned, the red shawl dangling slack from her shoulders. In the slapping tide, the ghosts of the Slocum were joined by Carrie Bowen and a new row of women, great with child. Addie, Mary pleaded, it wasn't me. It isn't true. It can't be. And after a time, Addie replied, no, of course not, Mary. It's madness. Madness, said Mary. I've missed you, my darling, said Addie quietly, and took Mary's hands. Mary looked up.